this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What is going on, Boiler Nation? It's Thursday night. It's January 23rd, 2025. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page and YouTube channel. Hit that like button, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell on YouTube so you know when we are live with our latest episodes, and give us a follow on all social media platforms at Boiler Break Pod. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb's in the house. Webby, what's going on? A little later than usual this week for cranking out the pod, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah, it's a midweek games and cooling off periods.
Yeah, we thought we would take one extra day to kind of collect our thoughts, maybe let some frustrations either settle in or slide off us. Yeah, because Tuesday night was a rough one. That was as mad about a loss I've had since probably Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah, I wasn't even mad at that game. I think it was just because it was more just shock. I think the loss at Northwestern last year, that was pretty bad. The overtime loss, just because it's Northwestern and it's annoying Chris Collins and him grabbing on the Fletch lawyer and all that stuff.
At least our coaches beat him.
Yeah. I think that game kind of broke me. At least I think that was really the only game last year I was like, I'm sure I was mad at other games, but that was one that I was really upset about. That was also one of those like December games. It was like we're starting off the year, you know, the Big Ten season with a loss, or you know, at least 1-1 or something. But yeah, the Tuesday was not fun to be there.
No, and we always seem to have one of these in January.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a loss that we probably shouldn't have lost. In years in the past, we bounced back just fine. But I don't know. I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll see. It's just I felt really good coming into this three game home stretch, mm-hmm. and to lose the first one, it's like, oh boy, adds that extra level of emphasis to tomorrow night's game against a number 21 ranked Michigan team that's coming in well rested, not having to play this week.
Yeah, yeah. Purdue was on their fifth game in 13 days, going into the Ohio State game. So this will be their sixth game in what, like 18 days or something like that. So essentially, a game every 3 days, which is crazy. And that also includes not only going to the West Coast, but the week before the West Coast game, they went out to Rutgers. So literally East to West Coast and back home. And you could definitely tell. I mean, it's affected a lot of teams. We've seen it with Illinois, where they went out and dominated the West Coast and came back, and 2 games later they lost at home to USC. Granted, they didn't have Yakachonis. Saw it with Michigan. They went out and did well on the West Coast and then came home, and 2 games later, lost at Minnesota, which is a bad loss. And now Purdue does it. I think we're going to see that a lot, which kind of sucks from just a league standpoint that the schedule can influence potential results that much, which it always kind of has in a way. I mean, Katie always says, no, it doesn't matter who you play, it's when you play them. But I just feel like with travel and how that screws up so much stuff, how it's really going to cost teams games that they shouldn't lose. And potentially, you know, it could cost a team a Big Ten championship just because of they had to play, you know, 6 games in 18 days.
Yeah. I totally understand that reasoning, but it's hard for me to get on board with it, I guess, because like you said, every team kind of goes through it. And these are mostly 18 to 22 year olds, given a few outliers here or there.
Yeah.
They have more energy than a lot of us
that
are watching.
I will say Brian Newbert had a good point, because he says, like, you know, a lot of people say that same thing of like, you know, this isn't just like you're going out to a meeting, like a lot of us in the adult world, you know, these kids are not only going out, but they're losing time to watch film. They're not eating on a regular, like their normal regular schedule. They're not sleeping in their own bed. They're not getting into the weight room to keep their bodies going as much as they, you know, can if they were traveling, to Champaign or East Lansing or something. But I get it. Yeah, I totally get that aspect too. But yeah, it's just, and what I thought Neuer made a really good point was that this is actually going to affect the bigger names in the conference more, because the reason why, you know, Purdue's playing on Tuesday or playing on Friday versus a Saturday is because Fox wants that game, and sure, they want the big names. They want the teams that are, you know, projected up near the conference when the season starts. So that's going to affect the Purdue's, the Indiana's, the Illinois's, the Michigan State's more than they're going to affect Penn State and Minnesota, because right, those games are going to be first pick by these right, major networks. So
right,
it's interesting. It just is what it is. It's football driven. So
yeah. And the timing of it just stinks. I mean, you're coming off West Coast trip, which you were able to sweep Washington, which found ourselves down 8 points at halftime. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm, oh my God, this is going to be a terrible loss. But, you know, cranked up the dials in the second half, especially on the defensive end, pulled that one out fairly easily. Then mm-hmm, traveled to Oregon in a game that neither team could really hit the broadside of a barn. Played really good defense there. Got a good win there. Then you come home, find yourself up 16 at one point, up 13 and a half on your home court. And to lose by three, it's just really hard to stomach in a game that Purdue couldn't hit a three. And Ohio State was hitting some crazy threes, hit four of them as shot clock expired. One kid late hit his first of the season. Just maddening.
A team that was maddening. 17th in the, as your dad pointed out to me, 17th in the conference in 3-point shooting.
Yep. Only team they're ahead of is Michigan State. You missed a lot of bunnies around the rim. I mean, we only committed, three turnovers? Only missed four free throws, but two of them were late one-on-ones, even though one of them we got the rebound and made the bucket anyways. Just missed opportunities, mistakes, inopportune times at the end. Just very frustrating.
Yeah, I remember early on in that game, when Braden got a second, I think this was when Braden got a second foul, my dad was like, man, Braden just looks gassed. I'm like, yeah, he looks like, I don't know if he's sick or what, because, you know, we're seeing that this time of year, like, you know, it's also just kind of part of it is, you know, teams are getting affected with just natural illnesses that people get around this time of year, especially being in close quarters like college campus. And he just didn't look right, but like, I remember going into half, I was like, you know, we're up 13. I didn't think we played all that great. And just based off the other games, it was like, you know, usually the second half is where they kind of turn it on. It's like, okay, this should be, I'm not worried at all. Like, I think that's how the whole Mackey felt. Like, it just felt like there was nothing that really got the crowd going all game. I mean, I'm okay to say that the crowd sucked, even for
they were not good.
It just wasn't, you know, a few times in the second half when, you know, Purdue was trying to build a run, but like there's just nothing. And part of that, you know, there's weren't plays that got things going. It was a lot of, like I said, no big threes. It could happen because we couldn't hit anything.
If Jakari hit one to go up six, I thought Purdue was going to roll after that.
Yeah, it just, Purdue couldn't get going. Braden missed a lot of bunnies at the rim. I think it was just, they're all just gassed. And then Ohio State came out in the second half, fresh legs, and took it to them. And it was, it was hard to watch.
Yeah, like at halftime, I remember thinking, this game's kind of boring. But like, I was like, I'm glad it's boring.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was even thinking to myself, like, maybe it's just this Purdue team's different from last year. I feel like there's been a lot of games that have been kind of boring to watch. But then after the game, I'm like, damn it, I want to go back to my boring statement, because it got real interesting quick. And
and
like you're mentioning, the crowd, I thought the crowd would be jumping because the students' first game back in a month.
Yep.
It just wasn't on TV, at least. And going back to Jakari's three, if you remember correctly, after we hit that, we come back down, we have the ball up six. Trey misses a short one, which would put us up eight. They come down, hit a three. I kind of feel like right then, if Trey makes that bucket, maybe everything's different.
Yeah. And there was like a lot of that. It just felt like, I don't even think it was anything that Ohio State was doing really well. I think Purdue didn't shoot as many threes as we're used to.
Right.
But part of that's just because the way they were playing, the pick and roll was there for Braden and Trey to kind of just go to work. And probably most nights they would have. Like I said, Braden, I remember one time Braden in the second half in a tight moment kind of had a wide open shot at a layup and just missed it. It was like, it was just like, that was just kind of a microcosm of the whole game. Yeah, it was just, I mean, I don't think Ohio State was doing, like, I saw some people on the boards like, oh, this is what they did with UConn. I'm like, that was not even close to what UConn was doing.
No, you can't compare that.
Yeah, Purdue had every chance to win that game without shooting threes.
Yep.
And it was also, again, one of those things where, like, again, like going back to Ohio State, hitting their threes, like you said, it was three shot clock ones, and one was like with 2 seconds left in the first half. Like the fact you give up 12 points just at end of shot clock slash, you know, game time threes is pretty hard to that's pretty tough to overcome, and Purdue only lost by three.
Right.
I thought they played defense pretty well, for the most part. It was just, yeah, they were hitting shots that they weren't normally hitting.
Yeah, and it's just, there's a lot of things that take away from this game. I mean, we're hoping it's just a one-off. We're hoping it doesn't snowball. Because, I mean, I don't think Purdue's necessarily totally out of the race for the conference championship, but this puts a dent in it. Absolutely, I think. And I think that's what hurts the most, just knowing you had three home games coming up, four out of the next five, I think actually five out of the next seven. You had a real chance to get up there and stay in the race, and just dropping your first one kind of hurts. But it's interesting, you know, this is Ohio State's first win at Mackey since 2018. Cates bait a Diop's tip-in, which in retrospect cost Purdue a chance at a three-peat then, looking back on it. But even in different wins we've seen, and another loss back in 2010, we've seen games at Mackey where Purdue gets up really big against Ohio State. And Ohio State comes back in a fury. Even like when Jaden Ivey hit the buzzer beater that year, Ohio State, we were smashing them, and all of a sudden they came roaring back.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Jaden hitting that buzzer beater, I think we might lose in overtime. It's just really weird that we've seen a lot of.
Wasn't there a play that like gave us the ball at the end that was kind of like a, because they had, what was the big guy's name? That they had, I swear, like there was like a play where, maybe I'm thinking of a different game, but I swear there was like a play that like Purdue got the ball and we were lucky to get the ball. Otherwise, they would have had the ball with a chance to win at the end, and we end up having the ball, and that's when Jaden hit it. But
we've had some interesting contests with Ohio State. Of course, Fletcher hit that one at Ohio State. But if you have to pick out a school in the Big Ten that's had Matt's number for whatever reason in his career, it's Ohio State. And now Diebler struggles with everybody, but he's 2-0 against Purdue.
Yeah, and it's happens. I don't think Panthers are going to have a chance to get a winning record against him at Ohio State. I don't think he's going to last that long.
I think right now Purdue's keeping his job.
Yeah.
2 years in a row.
They're literally, we were walking out of Mackey, and just there was a guy walking with us, and he's like, Purdue's the reason he got the job, and Purdue's the reason he's keeping his job right now. Which is probably pretty true.
100%.
Like, I mean, 100%. Except if he misses the Big Ten tournament, I would – not be surprised if he's let go. Like, yep. I mean, I guess it also depends on, you know, what other jobs are open around the country. But yeah, just with their amount of talent, like to miss a Big Ten tournament, that'd be pretty bad and pretty. I think he'd be a good coach for like Butler, honestly. Like,
yeah,
with his brother down there, and after Thad retires from being awful down there,
yeah, he should quit. Mitch Melton on Facebook, I was just referring to this. I'll never forget the Baby Boilers while I was there. Hummel outscored the whole OSU team in the first half, and Soldier put them on his back, and they got us. Evan Turner, 35 points that night, I believe.
Yeah.
Enough. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably had like, what, 7 threes in the first half?
Yeah. Or... place was going nuts, and we were coming off a loss to Wisconsin. And then we followed it up losing to Ohio State, lost to Northwestern. And then that team got red hot till Rob's knee went out.
So, yeah.
So we'll see. A lot of season left. I mean, like, so home game tomorrow night, home game next Friday. But I feel like you got to get these next two.
I was going to this 3-game home stretch. Like, if you drop one, you're probably okay. And the one I was thinking was probably the Michigan game.
Yes.
But now it's like, oh boy. Like, can't do. But yeah, it was tough.
Who's Johnny on YouTube? Purdue needs to use lawyer more. Thoughts on
that? Yeah, they're aware, but teams know that too, and they're taking them away, which is credit to them. I mean, UConn did it. Like I said, I think Ohio State was doing a pretty good job of it. That's pick and roll was so effective, was because they were taking away the dish out, and just Trey and Braden were just missing it. That's all it was. If they had, may have made a few more, you never know what they could have maybe started hedging those ball screens more, and that could have opened up some shots. But yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that Purdue's had a couple guys starting to merge and starting to play with confidence. CJ Cox, Ja'Kari Harris, two freshmen especially. But while that's happening, we're seeing some other guys kind of disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb First, he's been great for the last month, but he kind of was.
Yeah, he played on Tuesday. Like,
yeah, he was there. Same thing with Cam Heidi and Miles Colvin. They were there. Didn't do a whole lot. Purdue really needs Heidi and Colvin to get consistent.
Yeah, at the very least, like, rebound. I think that's the big thing that we're going to see, like, especially these next two games with Michigan, Indiana, because they've got a lot of size, and Purdue obviously doesn't. So they're going to need some big-time rebounders.
Who's Johnny? What did Fletch take? 1 3-ball? He needs at least 6 3-balls. I'm not disagreeing. I'd love for him to be able to shoot 6 threes a game if he can get it. Because he was confident the other night. I mean, made some pull-ups, made some good drives, just couldn't get it.
They were hounding him pretty well.
Yep. Frustrating for sure.
But
have you watched Michigan a whole lot this year?
A little bit here and there. I was trying to watch the game against Minnesota. I watched bits and pieces of some of their other games. They're pretty impressive. I mean, just given what we've seen the last couple of years out of Michigan with Howard at the helm, Michigan looks a lot better. They've got Golden, their big man who came from FAU and followed Dusty. He's huge. And he can shoot.
he put up 35 at UCLA a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he's respectable. And then they've got, obviously, Danny Wolf, the first time I watched, I didn't realize he was 7 foot because he handled the ball so well. But I think I thought we were gonna have a lot of trouble with Oregon's 7-footer, and we didn't have an issue with that. But, I mean, we've been pretty small against everybody this year, and haven't lost a whole lot of games because we're a lot quicker. So, but it's just going to be team rebounding is going to be huge, you know, not letting them get on the offensive boards. Not letting those guys beat you.
Yeah. It's going to be, take care of the ball and going to have some magic, Mackie magic. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night, I think, but I assumed Tuesday night I'd be jumping, and I was wrong. So, but
yeah,
I would, if I was a betting man, which sometimes I am, might have been the other night, unfortunately. I place a bet on Mackie jumping tomorrow night on Fox on national television. Gets a ranked opponent in conference opponents. Opponent that Purdue's had good luck with dating back to January of 99. Purdue leads a series back to that date, 24-22, 14-7 at Mackie, 9-12 up in Ann Arbor. Current win streak's 3. Last time they met was last year in Ann Arbor on February 25th. It was pretty much Mackie North that day with the crowd up there in Ann Arbor. Purdue won 84-76. And Johnny has a question. Guys, why are we giving up on Berg? Berg is 7.
He's never good. That's why, essentially. He's big. Like, we have young people kept saying, Zach was just big, Berg is just big. Like,
yeah.
He's got stone hands. He's... Love the kid. He plays hard, but he's not even a good rebounder, which unfortunately is what we need when we're in there. And I'd say Caleb's a better rebounder than Berg.
I mean, Paint gets paid millions for a reason. And if Berg went from starting game one to not playing, there's must be a reason. Yeah. And he trusts Raleigh more than him right now. I think one thing that hurts Will is his inability to rebound as a 7'2" guy. He just kind of stands there if he jumped a little bit. That would help out a lot.
But doesn't have good hands when they dish it to him down low. Like, it's just,
yeah.
Unfortunately, it's fortunate for him. I think he's a good player. I like him. But he's just, it's just not.
He's had some opportunities.
He just didn't take advantage of it.
But I don't foresee him getting meaningful minutes against a big time opponent unless there's a lot of foul trouble.
Yeah. Going on. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes in just to maybe use a few fouls on Golden or something just to show something different. Who knows?
We'll see. Like Hoosh Johnny says, when you are 7'2", you have to rebound. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he just, from my point of view, he doesn't jump very much when he's in there. Yeah. He just kind of stands and thinks his wingspan, but the other tall guys around him are jumping. So
Yeah.
But Purdue's going to need to be on it tomorrow night. Cause just can't, it wouldn't be a bad loss per se,
in
terms of analytics and everything, but as far as momentum and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Painter didn't seem too worried after the game the other day.
No.
But Johnny asking, did you guys hear about Jalen Rose questioning Painter's not willing to hit the portal? Yeah, Evan, why don't you sound off
on that? Yeah, God. Jalen Rose, man. What to say? I didn't even know he worked for Peacock in NBC or whatever until I heard him on. I was watching a Michigan game. I can't remember which game it was. I think it was maybe Michigan UCLA or something. And I heard him on it, and I was like, this dude is the, I mean, like, you know, people like give Robbie shit for being a homer, which he's not. Jalen Rose was like openly like cheering Michigan on the broadcast. And like, which is fine. Like, you know, it's your team. Like, I totally get it, but like, don't do it while you're a broadcaster.
Right.
At least not like in game. If you're like in the studio, sure, I don't care. Like, that's, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's like, it just shows he is just not paying attention. Because he gave the dumbest example of Harper and Bailey is like, you know, if they would have come through, if we would have taken them, it's like, well, probably no. But also, even if they did, like, how's that working out for Rutgers? Like, they're getting okay right now because Harper's getting better. But even before then, they lost to Princeton before he got sick. Like, it's not, and again, look at Kansas State. Look at, I mean, Kansas is okay, but they're number one.
Look at Indiana.
I mean, there's even some years, I mean, like Illinois 2 years ago, who like was like, obviously Brett Underwood's kind of figured some stuff out there, but it's just like the poor, like just because you have the talent doesn't mean it's going to work.
Right.
And again, the way Matt, and I'm all for it. I mean, things will obviously change at some point because, I mean, it's eventually going to bite Peter in the butt, but maybe it won't. Cause just the way that Matt goes after guys, like, again, like guys like CJ Cox, you know, Braden Smith, like who weren't these top guys.
Right.
Something that's like, hey, these guys can fit. And as we're seeing with Braden, it's worked out to where, like, yeah, okay, he probably didn't get a huge NIL deal to come to Purdue, but he's getting paid now. And it's, you know, trust in the process and finding those guys that, you know, money's always affects the way it's going to be in today's world of college athletics. But, like, you know, finding those guys that, you know, Payne Harris is like, we're winning has to be enough. Like, if you win and you play well, like, the money's going to come. It's just kind of, again, this whole thing of, you know, instant gratification, which, you know, we were 18 to 22 year olds once. Like, I can't say I wouldn't do the same, but yeah, it's just like bizarre that it was just like, you just haven't paid attention to how he's gone after guys and just found the guys that, you know, want to be there. And we've got guys that could have, like, Brayton could have left for Gonzaga the last 2 years and gotten a lot of money. But he didn't, because he, you know, wanted to play for Painter, wanted to play for Purdue. And like what Painter's done is, like, you know, he takes care of his guy. Like, I'm sure those guys are getting paid good. And, you know, they're taking care of those guys, which is, I feel like, you know, had we gone out and got, you know, like there was like 2 years ago or even last year, I think maybe going into last year, you know, people are talking like, we got to get like a true point guard, like a slashing point guard. It's like, well, and we got to pay, but it's like, if we would have got him, like, how would Braden feel like that? He was, you know, he led us to a number one seed as a freshman along with Zach. Like, he's like, Painter's not going to go over and just over recruit the guys that he's brought in, which is what we see the other schools doing. And just, you know, yeah, sure, it works out sometimes, but like, I mean, look at like guys like AJ Storr, who like got paid a ton of money to go to Kansas, and he's averaging like less than 6 points a game or something like that. Like, I'd love to see. I'm just rambling now at this point because I'm just like that. I saw that article about Jalen Rose and it just pissed me off. Cause it just like, just shows your arrogance and ignorance to even like do like a microcosm of research about a school in your conference that you played in. Yeah. But where was I going with this? I lost my train of thought. I'd love to see like a case study of like football and or basketball. I think basketball, especially of guys like a, AJ Storr, even maybe Coleman Hawkins. But I'm not sure if he really falls in this category of guys who like left really good situations simply because of money, and then like their second stop wasn't working out. I mean, AJ Storr was on a pretty good team last year. He's on a good team now, but he's just not producing or not playing as much. I don't know. Let's see. Like, if it's like, was it really worth it? Like, especially like a guy like Storr, like who had legit NBA potential, and like, does this now screw his NBA chances?
Sure, probably
showing. It's like, was that worth it? Because, you know, $2 million is awesome now, but I would rather have, you know, $2 million a year for 5 years in the NBA and have it, you know, sustain and be sustainable. But yeah, we got a lot of comments here.
Yeah, I've got some comments to catch up on. Who's Johnny? I don't get how Illinois has not who has not had one returning player, and they're one of the best Big Ten teams.
I mean, it's
sometimes you lucked out and recruiting foreign guys.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like you got Jakob Jonas, who he's 18, but he's played like 3 years of pro basketball. Like, and you look at that, you watch those Europeans, it's why those guys do so well in the NBA. Like, they're so fundamentally sound. They've played in these, like, I mean, I know our good friends who's an Illinois fan, like, he's played in these rowdy, you know, EuroLeague environments as a 16, 17 year old. Like, I guarantee playing at Mackey or playing in Assembly Hall is absolutely nothing to him. Like, he's used to it. Like, he's the big pressure situations. He's, they're a really good player. I mean, I think Underwood's a good coach, as much as I don't like him. And I think he's, you know, a little shady. But I mean, like, yeah, just a little, I mean, yeah. I mean, sometimes like you luck out, and sometimes we see other guys who do an overhaul and don't work out. I mean, we saw it 2 years ago with Illinois where they had a complete overhaul and it was a disaster. I mean, they still made the tournament, but it was like, you mean, we saw fans who couldn't wait for, that season to get over.
Mitch Melton on Facebook is impressed that Purdue has even competed the last few years with only using the portal a couple of times, and those are grad students. Great coach is what it is.
Yeah, coaching matters, as we saw in football. You can have talent, but coaching matters.
Steve Tater Swingle on YouTube says, I don't get the Painter won't use the portal narrative. He's used it repeatedly over the years. He just uses it strategically to fill holes.
Yeah, it's the whole, like, you know, again, not to pick on Berg, but, you know, Berg doesn't produce. It's like, why did he go out and get a big, you know, go out and get a, you know, a, you know, pay $3 million and get Cliff Amore or something stupid like that. When it's like, again, I think he's just, you know, and I think it'll bite him a few times probably. Like, or, I mean, this year we're going to see it anyways of like starting a freshman with Jacobson when guys were starting, you know, fifth year seniors. Like, it's just, that was going to happen. But I think he's betting on himself and betting on his guys that, you know, in a year or two, it'll be really, really good because they've been in the program. They've been in the system. You know, they've put in the work that it'll pay off. And we saw it with Zach.
Yep. And I'm sure there'll be a year where he loses a guy or two that he wasn't expecting to lose. And then it's a little late in the process to go grab somebody coming out of high school. So you got to grab somebody in the portal. 100%. Probably see that. Who's Johnny on YouTube? Do you guys think Catchings would have made a difference? He doesn't seem to be doing very well at BYU.
Nope, I don't think.
He just would have got into somebody else's playing time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like now you could look at, you know, the whole Colvin and Heidi. They're not playing well. Like, would Catchings been better? I don't know. Like I said, he's not doing all that well at BYU. And again, I always go back to like, you know, off the court stuff, or, you know, even on the bench stuff, like, would that have been, I don't think that's worth, you know, disrupting the team. So I think he and Fletcher or not, I think he and Braden would have like fought.
Like, probably. Who's Johnny? Do you guys think we will lose Colvin or Heidi next year? It's too soon to speculate, but if I had a gun in my head and I had to choose somebody who might leave, those two would be up front for me. I would think.
No. If I had to say or not, I'd say no.
You know, there's a lot of, in these days with social media, there's a lot of rumor and innuendo going out there. Get parents involved sometimes on social media, players themselves. People say things in the heat of the moment, maybe they don't mean or shouldn't. And it's just interesting. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that. Yeah. And you don't know the motivation of players at the end of the day too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like today, this is kind of different, but Notre Dame football, who just made national championship Monday, and thank God they lost, even if it was to Ohio State. They had their starting center, starting right guard enter the portal. And at first, I'm like, why would they do that? And then I got to thinking, well, they've already made a national championship. They probably are thinking we're highly doubtful we'll get back there. We've already accomplished everything we've kind of wanted to in Notre Dame. Let's see who will pay us now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I totally get, I mean, I get that's probably exactly what it is. And I just kind of go back to, it's like, and I get it. Like, you don't know what the future holds and all that, but it's like, man, it seems such short-sighted. Mm-hmm. Especially at a team like Notre Dame, where it's like I said in our group chat, when I saw it, it was like, if you're an O lineman at Notre Dame, there's a really good shot. You're going to the NFL.
Very good. You make some
like serious money.
Yeah.
And it's just baffling, especially starting. It's one thing if it's like third string,
right.
Like,
okay. Or reserve even, yeah, but starting. Like, yeah.
You are a starter for Notre Dame on the offensive line. Yep. You are pretty damn good, and you're probably going to have a legit shot at the NFL. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, again, like there's, you know, so many factors, you know, is it family thing? Yep. Who knows? But it's just, yeah, when you see stuff like that, it's just like, it's just wild.
It is.
It sucks. It does suck. Like, I mean, I was like, so you appreciate the guys like a Zach Edey, you know, Jack Kaiser for Notre Dame football, like guys stuck it out and, you know, could have went elsewhere, but didn't.
Devin Mockabee for football.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to go down as a fan favorite for a lot of people just for his loyalty. Cause like Steve says here on YouTube, loyalty is two-way street. Painter's loyal to his guys. And in return, for the most part, the players have returned that loyalty. Loyalty is a thing that's kind of a lost trait. It feels like college athletics anymore.
Yeah. It's like, and even the guys like, I wouldn't say the guys aren't loyal. I mean, you got guys like Gillis and Morton leaving, like those guys at the beginning of the year, it's been reported that they said they weren't going to use their COVID year at the very least at Purdue.
Right.
Same with Eric Hunter. And then like, yeah, they made changes their mind. But like at that point, it's like, you got to have the conversation because, you know, Painter's got a roster to build for the next year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is what it is, but I don't think like really the one that was probably the most shocking was Harms was probably the most shocking at the time.
Yeah. No, Jill shocked me too.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, I think that was kind of soft from the fact that he just never played another minute of college basketball. but Harms was weird because it was just like he just seemed like such a Purdue guy. And then
Like Steve's agreeing, Eastern and Harms are probably the outliers. The only outliers. He also said, I could see Berg and Waddell leaving. Berg for obvious reasons, and Waddell will already have received his degree.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, and I could be mistaken, but so don't take my word on this, I think one of the five girls that left the volleyball program, one of those five is his girlfriend, I believe.
Yep.
So
she was. Yeah.
That would make sense. I don't know where she ended up, but.
I can't remember either. It was like either Louisville or Kentucky, I feel like. or Penn State, one of the three.
Volleyball
powerhouse.
Earlier when we were talking about Notre Dame, Johnny says it's like Alabama football, mini go pro. Look how many Alabama players are on the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Although didn't help beat the Commanders.
And shout out to Ben Johnson.
John Shoup, offense man.
I will say, like, today's age, though, it's really screwed over Bama because, like, before Bama could just be like, hey, you come here in 4 years, you're going to win a chip and you're going to probably go to the NFL. But now it's like they can't just stash all those 4 and 5 star guys. So it'll be interesting.
Who's Johnny? We'll only have Jacobson and Kaufman Wren for bigs next season unless we bring someone in. Still have Burgess, too.
Yeah.
Can't forget about him. But
I'm not really next year. Yeah, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a lot of ball to play. But I would assume right now he'd probably go grab another big somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere. But it'll be interesting tomorrow night. I don't think Dusty May and Matt Painter have ever went head to head before.
They would have 2 years ago.
What if
we screwed that up?
What if? And Memphis screwed it up too. Memphis should have beat
Florida
Atlantic in the first round.
Yeah.
But so that'll be interesting tomorrow night. I don't know who's on commentary tomorrow night for Fox. Is it Gus? Fox,
I bet it's going to be Gus and Jim Jackson. Just given, let's see if there's any other
big Gus game. Has got better over the years towards Purdue ever since Indiana.
It's all relative.
Man, when Jordan Holes was at IU, he was hard to listen to.
The only other like top 25 game is Villanova at Marquette on FS1. So I assume Gus is going to be on the main Fox.
I would assume so. Who's Johnny? Hopefully we are rested up and at least attempt a few more three balls. I'm right there with you. If the guys don't come out pumped up tomorrow, I don't know why they're playing.
Yeah.
I mean.
And you do wonder, like, again, like, was this with Ohio State, was it a case of guys overlooking? I don't know. Could have been
10 point favorites. People are finally starting to put Purdue, or were finally starting to put Purdue in that national conversation. No, ranked 11th. Joe Lunardi had them as the number 7 seed overall on the 2 seed line. People are starting to talk about, okay, maybe this team could three-peat. I'm sure, you know, going back to class, the last few weeks, people are telling once again how good they are. They're reading newspaper clippings, things like that.
Yeah. Usually in the last couple of years, whenever Purdue's lost a game, you know, except for this year, just because of where they fell with A&M and then playing Auburn, the best team in the country by a wide margin, usually pretty responds pretty well after a loss. So,
yeah, Johnny, Don McLean out there during that Washington game was literally about put me to sleep. Yeah, I was nodding off in the second half.
It made me kind of miss Sean Morris and Bardo.
I'm just so relieved we don't have Bardo anymore. I mean, he's annoying.
Except we had him for the NBC game.
I know we had against Oregon.
Yeah, it was just like, NBC's like, cool, we're going to have like.
I thought it'd be Robbie,
or we'd have Iron Eagle, somebody. Yeah. I was like, this is going to be a good crew. I was like, we get freaking Stephen Bardo on NBC Network.
Can't get away from the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Steve on YouTube. In my honest opinion, Painter needs to find a 4 in the Vince Edwards mold who can shoot and handle, and a 5 who can really rebound and block shots to push Jacobson for the starting spot. Oh, I'm sure he would if he could. I mean, Vince Edwards types are hard to find. I mean, that guy was more of a Swiss Army knife style player than we've really seen at Purdue. I mean, he was special.
And if you're going to start Jacobson and Trey, it's going to be hard to find a guy like that who's going to want to come in off the bench.
That's a good point.
That's a good point.
And it's interesting, earlier we were talking about loyalty and everything, and they got a feature right now on the Big Ten Network on Trey Kaufman Wren.
He was
even asked about like the transfer environment. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you always think about it in the offseason.
Sure, yeah.
But he goes, then, you know, this past offseason, I sit back, looked over my situation, and realized how good I had at Purdue.
Yeah. So,
because I'm sure, like, I try to, you know, we get as mad as we want as fans, you know, because we put time, energy, money into Purdue sports, at least you and I do, football and basketball. It's easy.
We went there.
Yeah. So
like, I always say, I wish every recruit could see Purdue the way that I see it, because
right. Right. And so it's easy like to get mad, especially away when you see somebody leave. And then I sit back and I think about it. I'm like, yeah, like you said earlier, I was 18 to 22 years old at one time.
Flashing $500,000 at
me. Oh my God.
Well, I'm going to think about it.
let alone like some of these football players that left getting 7-figure contracts.
Oh
like,
my God. Yeah.
If you're smart with that, even at that age, that's life-changing money. If you're smart with it.
Oh yeah. And like, again, like we don't know where these guys come from. Like, family back, like that's something that, it was funny that I heard, it was LeBron. They would want about LeBron, but he was on the Jason and Travis Kelce's podcast. I just saw a clip of it where he was talking about how, which who knows how true this is. You know, it's LeBron. He likes to embellish a little bit, but he said he went before he signed with Nike, he met with Reebok and Adidas, I think. And I think it was Reebok slid over a check for like $10 million to say, don't even meet with these other guys, and this is yours. And he's 7 years old.
That'd be so tempting to just.
And his mom was like, no, like, don't do it. Like, trust your gut. And he's like, dude, we could have bought the apartment building we lived in.
she knew where the big money. I mean, if Reebok's offering that, what's Adidas and then Nike
exactly, got? Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I totally get it. Like, but at the same time, and also, you know, a lot of these kids get a lot of bad advice, whether it be from handlers, family, you know, family members with bad intent. I can't, you know, it's hard to fault kids these days, like for chasing the money, as annoying it is as fans, because who's to say we wouldn't do the same thing? Like, I mean, we do it as adults. Like, you see people all the time, like they change jobs because XYZ. I mean, I've had it. I mean, I'm a manager in my role. Like, I've had kids, you know, my reps come in and say, I don't want to leave, but I can't pass this up. And I'm like, I don't blame you, man. I get it. It sucks. Yep. You know, hopefully it works out for you. I've had times, I mean, I've had one instance actually where a kid came back because it just wasn't a good situation. But yeah, it's hard to blame them, but it just sucks when it's, and like NFL is different and like NBA is different. Cause it's like, there's contracts and like, but so in college basketball and football, it's like year to year, you're just like, God, I hope we can keep everybody.
Yeah,
like
yeah. You're not only trying to get new guys, you're trying to re-recruit your own guys to stay. And you know, one time I'm like, why don't you have these guys sign contracts? Well, then I got to think about it. Well, then they become employees of the university. Then that's a whole another set of rules and issues. So, who's Johnny? He has two comments here about Fletcher. I have to say, Fletcher is my favorite. Just I wish he was a little more athletic. It's too bad he wasn't quick to the rim where he could slam. I've never seen Fletch dunk. He dunked 2 years ago at Nebraska
game. Yeah,
that's about the only one I remember. But that one, it wasn't like he was wide open either. He
drove.
He turned it over pretty good.
He's got old man YMCA game, and it works. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it does. I love it.
He also says, I'm from Michigan. I used to watch Fletch in his sophomore year at Clarkston, Michigan. He was money even back then. Yep. And then he moved down to Fort Wayne and played at Homestead and had a good 2-year career down there as well.
So I don't know if you remember, Tim. I remember when we started recruiting him, I was like, I want this kid badly.
Yeah, well, I remember.
I've been on the bandwagon for a long time.
Yep. Yep. And he and Braden are fun to watch. They're winners. And got to join while we can, because assuming they are back next year, it's crazy. That'll be a tough senior day and a tough end of next year. Because it's hard. I mean, it's always been hard when you fall in love with athletes at your school, knowing even back in the day before the portal was what it is now, in NIL, when you knew you're only going to get these guys for 3 or 4 years of basketball and football, and you watch them grow and develop. And now you really got to enjoy them year to year, because you don't know if they're going to be back. It's crazy.
Yeah, guys on your team feel like they weren't here long enough, and guys on the other teams feel like they were there for 10 years. And I feel like Aaron Kraft was at Ohio State for 16 years.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There's some of those guys that, especially at opposing schools, you feel like they just never will leave.
It was there forever. Felt like, Diebler at Ohio State.
Oh, God. He's still making threes from the game I went over there. Him and Buford both.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I mean, I've heard it too. I mean, of course, Robbie Hummel was at Purdue for a while, but
he was there for 5 years. Yeah.
He's been there for a decade. Chris Kramer's been there forever.
Yeah. You know,
things like that. So, Johnny, I agree. I'd like to think they're both back too. I hope so. I hope so.
Before we start recording, you said you were going to ask me a question.
We kind of already hit on everything. It kind of got it. Yeah, I went away from my game plan. I was going to ask you what you thought went into the loss the most on Tuesday. Okay. Was it travel, tiredness, a one-off, not shooting, not guarding the three? Yeah. But I think it was a little bit of everything.
What's your thoughts on the Big Ten race right now? Are you worried? Like, for Purdue to – I guess not even so. That's just like win the Big Ten, but like have a shot going into maybe the last 2 weeks of February or February, March, I guess.
No,
like,
I'm still confident they'll get a bye. They'll finish in top four. I'm not as confident as I was going into Tuesday night that they might win the conference. I don't think Michigan State's as good as their record, but
no,
their schedule's that bad coming up the next 2 weeks either, to where they could really spread themselves apart from some other teams. They might be hard to catch.
I might disagree with you there. I'm going to pull it up.
I mean, I know there's no easy road trip in the Big Ten.
No.
You got to bring every night who you play, but.
So they're at Rutgers.
Yeah. I just, Rutgers talented, but I just, nah.
Yeah. I mean,
this isn't a normal Pikel team.
So. Right. They still have to do their West Coast trip.
Okay.
And then come back and play Oregon. They still have to go to Illinois.
That'll be a tough one. Illinois around the fringe.
Yeah, go to Illinois, go to Michigan, go to Maryland, go to Iowa. Yeah, so I think, and they still play. They play Michigan twice. They play Illinois again. They play Wisconsin. They still play Purdue.
All right.
Yeah, they don't scare me after watching that game against Illinois. Of course, I said they're gonna shoot 60% from three when we play them as the worst.
No, Johnny, they have not lost a Big Ten game yet.
They probably should have against Illinois, but I'm glad they didn't. Which I was probably I felt like the minority of Purdue fans who was cheering for Michigan State that game.
Even though we've had really good luck against Michigan State, no matter if it's at Mackey or up at the Breslin Center, I agree. I am nervous about that game up the Breslin. I'd feel a lot better if it was at Mackey, but it is what it is. You win the conference by winning road games.
So. Yep.
Well, not dropping too many home games either. But, if you're in the Big Ten championship contention, you shouldn't be dropping too many home games. So, Big Ten tonight, I saw we had two games. Let's see here. Like
one tonight.
Only one game. Never mind. It tips off here in 12 minutes. Maryland at Illinois. He was 5.5-point favorite. I thought there was two. I'm sick.
Illinois could be without up to three guys. Their starting center, and then
they can't afford to lose another one and be in contention.
No.
If they lose another one, they might have to start worrying about the bye.
Yeah. Their center's out for tonight's game. And then two of their really good, I don't know if Trey White comes off the bench or not. I can't remember. But I know Will Riley comes off the bench, five-star freshman, but they're both questionable, undisclosed. Sounds like could be like strep throat.
Yeah, the Johnny's come. UCLA is starting to find it a little bit. They've responded to their coach whining.
USC won at Nebraska last night. Obviously, they won at Illinois. So they come to Mackey. So that could be a tough one. Muss is a psycho.
Friday night game, which that's all we really play anymore is Friday night games.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, those California teams are going to be interesting. So, yeah, we'll see.
It's tomorrow night, besides Purdue, Michigan, you got Penn State at Iowa. I look for Iowa to win that one.
Yeah, after losing at home to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then UCLA travels to Washington. I think UCLA will win that one. It's an 11 o'clock tip tomorrow night. Big Ten on at 11 o'clock on a Friday night.
Big Ten after dark.
Saturday, Michigan State at Rutgers. I think Michigan State gets it done.
I don't think Rutgers be different.
The Oregon at Minnesota. I think Oregon wins, but I think it's close.
I think so, too. I think Minnesota's feeling himself a little bit.
Yeah.
But.
And then Sunday, Maryland at Indiana. I think Indiana gets that done, but I don't know. This team could be lost at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, they're kind of gets game-to-game basis with them. It feels like, I mean, they look good.
A noon Sunday crowd won't be good. Noon on Sunday, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
Nebraska, Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin gets that one done.
Yeah, Nebraska, they're in jeopardy of missing the tournament now. Big Ten tournament. They've lost some games they really shouldn't have, which I have a weird soft spot for Nebraska. I think it's because the Tominaga effect. I loved him so
much. You're a Bulls guy. Hoiberg's been he's tied to the Bulls.
Like, I don't care about that. I just think they have, like, I just seem to like the guys they have. It's always like guys I've never heard of that just go off.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's they're not doing well.
In Northwestern's at Illinois on Sunday. Got the Illinois
State by revenge. 50.
They're going to get revenge in that one. A couple of comments here. Cameron Day on Facebook. I think OSU just hit another buzzer beater three. Yeah, feels like it.
That one guy, what was it, the lefty who hit it in the corner?
Yeah.
Late, like when he hit that, like I feel like I got punched in the stomach when it happened. I was like, as soon as it happened, I was like, yeah, this isn't happening.
Yeah, Johnny said Iowa hadn't been playing good at all. Can't play D. Never have. Under Fran. Cameron Day in all caps. Dustin A coming back to IU. Their fans think so.
Yeah.
And Johnny, I don't trust Indiana at all. Neither has the fans since Bob Knight days. Nebraska might be the worst team in the Big Ten.
I think it's still reserved for Minnesota right now, but
I think it might be Washington.
Yeah. Maybe.
Nobody's scared to go there. The barn still is a weird place to play.
Yeah, got some weird juju.
Yep. Built weird.
Yeah.
So, bold prediction for tomorrow night. Player to game score.
Bold prediction. It's bold right now because it has not happened. Purdue lights it up from three. Maybe not Nebraska level, but...
I was going to say 19 threes again?
I say they shoot... 45%.
Sign me up.
And then score prediction, Purdue 79-73. Close game, and Purdue ices it in the end with some free throws.
All right.
Player of the game.
All right.
Brayden bounces back.
I want to get to a few comments real quick before I say mine. Cameron Day on Facebook. When was the last time a Big Ten coach went to another Big Ten team without being fired, basketball or football?
That's a good question.
I feel like there's been one in football, but I can't think who it was.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't in succession, but I mean, Burt's done it with Wisconsin and now Illinois.
Right.
He didn't do that back.
In between.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody. I
can't think of anyone.
I mean, sure there's somebody.
It's going to happen more often now because there's going to be a million teams in the conference at some point. I cannot think of.
I mean, we've seen it happen to the SEC.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. Yeah.
He says, exactly my point, IU fans are delusional. Well, that's not even the real name. The real name that they think they're getting, which they always think every 4 years, because that's their average of firing a coach, because, you know, assuming Woodson gets fired, next year will be their sixth head coach they've had since Matt Painter started at Purdue, fourth in the last decade. They always think it's Brad Stevens.
So. Mm-hmm. Or that's nowadays, yeah, they
roll now too. Pearl's more realistic than Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
And Johnny here on YouTube, Washington, Nebraska, Minnesota won't make the Big Ten tournament.
Probably the three. It's a solid pick.
Thanks for tuning in, Johnny. Appreciate it. Boiler up to you as well, and have a good night. So my bowl prediction tomorrow night. I keep saying this, and he's going to have it. Jakari Harris, double-digit scoring.
There you go.
Well, I like the way he's playing. Yeah. Starting to get more confidence in that three ball.
Him and CJ are the only ones like shooting well from three. Yeah. That's right. Since the calendar turn, I should say. Yep.
But even though he's going double digits, he's not my player of the game. My player of the game, you know, I'm going Fletcher Lawyer. Yeah, we've talked about Fletch a lot tonight. Big game Fletch from Michigan originally.
Ooh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
I was saving that for Michigan State.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take that too. Score prediction, Boilers 82, Michigan 72. High scoring game.
I was thinking back the other day, is like, I feel like there's been a lot of good Purdue Michigan games. Dakota and that game were just back. It was just haymaker. That was a fun game to be at.
The same year at Michigan was a crazy game too.
Yeah. 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 There was a game a couple years ago. We lost at Michigan, but it was when Travion went for 30. was fun, even though we lost. There's been some good ones.
My first ever Purdue basketball game was in the year 2000. I was 8 years old, and it was the year Brian Cardinals, those guys made the Elite Eight. We lost to Michigan double overtime.
Dang.
I remember very little about the game. Yeah. Yeah. I remember my dad being real like depressed after the game. You know, I think I got like a Purdue Pete plush toy.
Yeah.
I was happy with that. Yeah. Yeah. I think we went to eat somewhere after the game. I don't know why I'm remembering this all of a sudden. I think I was trying to tell my dad like who my favorite player was on the team or something. I don't think my dad even wanted to talk about the game anymore. Now I totally get it.
Yeah.
Which was Rodney Smith, by the way, everybody. He became my favorite player for 3 years there for a while. Good old number 31.
Yeah.
Cornrows. I was too nervous at the father-son camp the next year to go get his autograph, so my dad would go get it for me. Oh, good times. Good times. Good times. But let's pay some bills, shall we, before we hang up the show for the week. One of the sponsors we want to talk about is Mad Mushroom. They've been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette and known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever we visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer by trying out their latest pizza of the month, which I got to bring it up here. The pizza of the month for January, so you still got a week left to get this, is the Greek gyro pizza, garlic and herb sauce. Gyro meat, onions, black olives, and feta and mozzarella cheeses, finished with tomatoes and cucumbers and a tzatziki sauce drizzle. So that's starting at just $14. So next time you are in West Lafayette, which hopefully is tomorrow night, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener can also, or viewer, can also use the coupon code BREAK5. It's BREAK5, all caps, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. Expect that place to be rocking before and after the game tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we could do it over again, Webby, and go back in time, that'd be our victory. We'd have victory cheese sticks.
Absolutely.
After the game. Yeah. Except we've said it many times in podcasts. We didn't see a lot of victories late in our college careers. So, yeah. Kind of fizzled out pretty quickly for us. So. But you got a good looking shirt on. I got a good looking hat on. Where do we get this merch from?
We got it from the shop. They've made Hometown Apparel since 2011. Started in their garage. Now they've got three retail locations. One had to close down the other day because they didn't have heat. That's
that would have been cold this week. Yeah.
No, they got one in Carmel, one in Broad Ripple, one in downtown Indy. So if you're in the Indy area, stop by. They're awesome stuff. You know, they just came out with some, which I hate to say, some pretty cool designs for Ohio State. That's really the only non-school that they have, and what a good one to pick.
yeah, they've had a hell of a week.
Yeah, they have. But no, they've got awesome stuff. Like I said, my shirt, I'm wearing Tanner's hat. They've got all things Indiana colleges, sports teams. But if you're online, you go to shopindy.com, use promo code breakdown, you get 25% off.
If you're a pro wrestling fan like myself, the Royal Rumble's coming to Indy next Saturday. Right. They released two shirts for the Rumble, which is pretty
cool. Are you going?
I am going. Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Yes, I am going.
Where's that at?
Lucas Oil.
Oh, damn. Okay.
They sold, last I checked, 53,000 tickets, I believe. Dang. So it's a pretty big event. It's it'll be cool. First time Indy's ever hosted it. It's in agreement. They made an agreement with the WWE last year. Pac Mac, if he was a big part of this, since he works for WWE part time, with the Indiana Sports Group, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Where they're going to host by this time, from this time through 2030, they're going to host the WWE's three biggest events: Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and WrestleMania. Now, SummerSlam and WrestleMania haven't been announced. WrestleMania, I think, speculated either 2027 or 2028. Which that'll be a two-night event, but pretty cool. Pretty cool that Indy's getting those, because wrestling fans in Indiana have been harping for years to get it.
I'm not a wrestling fan really in any stretch of matches, but it feels like WrestleMania, I feel like something sort of almost like a cultural event.
Yeah, no, you know, no
like,
doubt.
And, like, to see it, because like, it's just
so
just massive and just larger than life.
Yeah, it's the Super Bowl wrestling, and celebrities go to it, and it's just a big deal. And the Royal Rumble's pretty close too. I think it's getting there, but not, it'll never get to WrestleMania status. But anyways, if you want to hear wrestling, you can check out my other podcasts. I won't even plug that. I feel like a cheap plug, but Webby, let's boiler up, hammer down, take care of business tomorrow night against those Wolverines.
Yes, sir. Boiler up.